When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Medicare Connect Radio, sponsored by Millennium Physician Group. I'm Michelle McCormick. Every week, we're talking about the healthcare issues that are important to you, whether you're 65 or older, approaching 65, or maybe you're just making healthcare decisions for a loved one in their golden years. We invite providers and experts to share insights to help you take control of your healthcare decisions. Well, it's a new year, and most people think it's time to make changes for the better. While the new year is just another tomorrow, it does mean it's time to check your annual wellness visits or perhaps your welcome to Medicare exams. In this episode, we're talking with a physician about why your primary care physician is your first stop in your healthcare journey. But first, founded in Port Charlotte, Florida in 2008 and now headquartered in Fort Myers, Millennium Physician Group has quickly become the leading independent physician group with more than 800 healthcare providers across the Southeast. Nationally recognized as a leader in value-based care with consistently high levels of physician engagement, Millennium aims to create a genuinely connected healthcare experience for patients by providing a comprehensive and coordinated approach to healthcare. We also just want to be your connection to a healthier life. Learn more and schedule your next primary care visit online at millenniumphysician.com. Well, I think we all know the importance of primary care. Your care team can direct you from the beginning and they stay with you throughout your life, perhaps. In other words, your healthcare starts right here. And our guest today is Dr. Andrew Hunt from the Millennium Physician Group Clinic on Sunbeam Road right here in Jacksonville. So Dr. Hunt, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. So, all right, tell me about your journey. Why did you decide at some point you were going to go into medicine and then you chose primary care? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so, well, medicine in general, I've been interested in pretty much my whole life. I grew up with my mother, who is a registered nurse, so I was kind of exposed to it early on. So it's always been an interest of mine. Went through undergrad at University of Florida and, you know, did biology, that kind of thing, pre-med, and ended up going down to the Fort Lauderdale area, Nova Southeast, for medical school. During medical school, it's great. You kind of rotate through different specialties, see what it's like. Initially, I'd always enjoyed surgery, working with my hands. I thought that would be kind of my thing. But as I went through these rotations, I just realized that I really liked connecting with people, like getting to know people, more dealing with more than just one problem and really establishing that relationship that would be a lifelong type relationship. I liked educating patients, talking to them. Just realized that was my favorite type of experience as I went through the process. So then I chose to go into family medicine, went up to New York for training, and then but I'd grown up in the Jacksonville area in Orange Park as a kid.
Oh, okay.
So I decided to come back home and wanted to come back and establish, you know, practice and family and everything back here at home.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. And it's much nicer and sunnier down here too.
Absolutely. grew up in Florida my whole life. So having to wake up early to shovel out was not something I enjoyed.
You know, and I think it's, I went to college in Colorado, so I get it. You know, it's like at some point you're just like, I got to go experience that. And then I'm going to come back to the sunshine.
Exactly.
So yeah.
Great experience, but it was time to leave.
Well, good. Well, we're thrilled to have you on our team and you're at our Sunbeam Road location in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, let's talk about primary care. You said you like connecting with people. And, you know, I think in another life, I would have loved to have been like an ER doc, you know, like a trauma ER doc, mm-hmm. and just, you know, help the person coming in and then they go see, you know, their doctor. But in primary care, you establish relationships with patients for life.
Yeah. And that's one of the most important parts of the whole thing. And establishing that relationship is extremely important. And having that communication level is very important to both parties, for the patient to feel more comfortable, to open up and discuss those real problems, as well as us for the physicians to really see what's going on, have a better idea of what the real problem is.
Yeah, and they trust you. You know, you're helping
Absolutely.
Them not just with their movement, their mobility, their mm-hmm. nutrition, you know,
yeah.
you're helping them make decisions on specialty care as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the whole thing. I always describe it as it's a team effort. We want to work together. It's not me telling you what to do. It's us trying to figure out what's going on and then what direction you want to go with it. There's rarely ever one answer to any problem, as well as finding what the right problem is. So having those discussions, working things out together is a much better way to do it.
Yeah, I agree. So basically, you know, a person comes in, they schedule, you know, let's say they're just establishing care with you. What's that initial appointment like?
Yeah, so I know a lot of times, especially for patients, friends, families that ask me, well, why should I come in? I'm healthy. I don't feel anything. There are definitely a number of different reasons. And number one is establishing that relationship. You do have to be comfortable, have to be able to talk about anything, everything. There's no reason to hide anything. We're not here to judge. At most, we're going to just give you the pros and cons of what choices you're making or what issues you might have. But it's not about judgment. It's just about a discussion and building that knowledge base. So establishing the relationship first and foremost to be comfortable to have those conversations and talk about everything is an extremely important part of coming in, even if you're healthy, even if you don't have problems.
Well, you have to build that baseline.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So getting the relationship baseline as well as a health baseline, that's another benefit with family medicine and following somebody for so long is that you can kind of see how they are now and see how they go as they get older, see what kind of problems pop up. A lot of times physicians, as if we really know a patient, they'll walk in the door and we can say, hey, something's different, and we can go off of that. So to have that baseline helps a lot too, as opposed to, you know, the first time you see somebody off the street, you kind of want to get to know them and build that baseline.
Yeah, some of our Millennium doctors I know, especially in Northeast Florida, they have patients that they were with their parents and then they, you know, they grew up with right. these same patients. So that longevity and that lifetime, you're right. You get to really know these patients and follow them. Now, what about some chronic medical conditions? What are you seeing at the primary care level that you can treat?
Yeah. So a lot of these chronic issues have really kind of become the bread and butter of family medicine. You know, way back when, you know, when bacteria injuries, different things like that were killing people off younger, we didn't see as many of these chronic long-term issues. Now that people are living longer, we're seeing these, you know, hypertension, diabetes, cholesterol, COPD. These are some of the chronic ones that we see all the time. And the vast majority of them, we can handle ourselves. We can work together with the patient and try to come to good solutions. Obviously, if it gets complicated or some additional issues they might have from those, you know, diabetes, might have eye issues, then we might have to send you out to a specialist. But getting the sugars under control or blood pressure under control, the majority of the time we can easily handle that, or at least the first few steps. And if it gets too much, then we send you out.
Yeah. And you're following the care anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah.
And even if we send you out to a specialist, a lot of times patients will get stable and they might see the specialist once a year, every other year or something like that. And then we'll handle the majority of the care.
Yeah. I mean, in other words, you want to come back and reconnect with your primary.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a big part of that as well is when you start to add on multiple different specialists, a lot of times they can get very focused on their problem, their concern, that aspect of the body, that system, and sometimes can lose focus. So when you put it all together in one big picture, some medications interact or there's a bigger underlying problem that they might miss because they're only looking at their piece of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of our goal is to coordinate those type of things.
So at the family medicine level, and we also have internal medicine physicians with Millennium, what do you think on a daily basis, what are you telling your patients the most? Is it movement? Is it nutrition? I mean, what do you find yourself repeating a lot?
Yeah, I would definitely say probably activity and exercise, probably the biggest things in general. They just help a lot of issues. And but trying to meet patients where they are. You know, we're not asking you to go run a marathon. It's
right.
Get out and walk for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Let's start somewhere comfortable. You know, with food, it's, you know, portion control. It's treats, not eating things the same thing every day, but not, you know, we don't have to change everything in one day. It's a process.
Okay. All right. Dr. Andrew Hunt from our Millennium Physician Group Clinic on Sunbeam is our guest today. And coming up next, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Hunt, and we're going to kind of talk about some screenings and prevention in the next segment. So stick around. Medicare Connect Radio, sponsored by Millennium Physician Group, will be right back. Welcome back to Medicare Connect Radio, sponsored by Millennium Physician Group. I'm Michelle McCormick. Every week, we're talking about healthcare issues that are important to you, whether you're 65 or older, maybe approaching 65, or you're making healthcare decisions for a loved one. We invite providers and experts to share insights to help you take control of your healthcare decisions. Well, it's a new year, and most people think it's time to make a change for the better. Well, while the new year is just another day, right, it does mean it's time to schedule your annual wellness visit, or perhaps your welcome to Medicare exam, or perhaps you just need to see your primary care doctor. In this episode, we are talking with Dr. Andrew Hunt. He is a Millennium Physician Group family medicine doctor with us from our Sunbeam Road office here in Jacksonville. And Dr. Hunt, in the first segment, we talked about all the reasons why you have to go see a primary care doctor, and establishing that relationship is key in healthcare. Honestly, your healthcare starts right here at the primary care level. Yeah. Let's talk about upon a visit, you know, as people age, you know, screenings, you know, colonoscopies, mammograms, you know, how do you approach those topics with patients?
Yeah, so that, again, that's another extremely important part about coming in and on a regular type of basis, even if you don't have medical problems. Obviously, those who do will build off of that. In general, like a preventative test is basically any test where you don't have symptoms. There's nothing that appears to be wrong. However, because of, you know, your age, your gender, whatever, you're put at a higher risk. So we try to do these tests to make sure that you don't have that problem, even if you don't have symptoms. All these come from, there's a group called the U.S. Preventative Service Task Force. It's a group you can look up online. You can find all this information yourself. They go through, they're volunteers, they're all experts in their field, and they look at the data, they look at the information, say, what problems are there out there that the patients might not know they have, and what's worth testing? It's worth testing if there's something we can do about it, and if it's, we're not going to be testing everybody, and there's only one out of every 10 million people that actually have the problem. So these are some common things. You know, like you mentioned, colon cancer screening is one of the most common. That one's a universal precaution that we recommend for everybody. Mm-hmm. They're constantly working, trying to figure out statistically when it's likely to happen.
It does seem to change. You know, is it 50? Is it 40?
Exactly. So they'll look at the numbers, look at the amount of people that are getting diagnosed, what their outcomes are. And they recently changed from 50 down to 45. And we're constantly looking at that kind of information. Again, with colon cancer specific, it's third most common in the world, in the U.S. It's the second top killer.
But it's preventable, too.
Exactly. And that's the biggest thing, is that there's something to do about it. Mm-hmm. With colon cancer, slow growing typically takes years and years to grow. However, if you catch it early on, it's very treatable. They can cut it out. They can find it when it's a precancer. It's much more manageable. And again, as far as symptoms, because patients will come in, they say, well, I feel fine, everything's good. But typically something like that, you don't have symptoms till the cancer's potentially already spread. If you catch it early, it's literally cutting out like a skin tag, but it's just in your colon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the earlier we catch it, the better. That's why these tests are really important.
Yeah. I'm kind of one of those people who are like, you know what? I feel great. I don't really need to go to the doctor. I'll go see my gynecologist, you know, my pap smear every 3 years now, I suppose, you know, whatever they change that one to also. Right. But if I'm having issues, I think this is something I need to get looked at, and I will go see my primary care.
Absolutely.
Are those, you have patients like that who are just kind of like, I'm good, I'm fine, I'm busy.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. We talk to patients like that every day, and it's completely understandable. I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, if it isn't broke, why fix it kind of thing. but some of these things can have good outcomes. That's another important part that they look at. For instance, prostate cancer used to be a universal recommendation, and they backed off of it because they realized there's all these patients that were fine and they go through biopsies and have complications. So it's like, well, maybe this isn't worth checking unless people have symptoms. Mm. So that's another important factor. We don't want to cause harm. We just want to try to help out. So it's completely understandable. I'm not having symptoms. Why do it? But unfortunately, there are multiple things that you might not have to symptoms till you're pretty far in.
Yeah. And you mentioned in the first segment something that really resonated. It's like you know your patients. Yeah. And if there's something when they're coming in to see you, there's probably something that you would recognize as not being right. You know, and I say that in quotations, you know, or normal. Mm-hmm. And those are the patients that you really you need to see and establish those relationships with so that when something isn't normal,
right.
you can help
exactly.
them.
Then it stands out more. Between that and routine screening, so you walk in the door, we do vitals. You're going to check blood pressure, pulse rate, breathing rate, things like that. Hypertension is kind of nicknamed the silent killer because you really don't feel it unless it, I know a lot of patients feel like they can tell a difference, but unless it's either really high or it changes very quickly, you're not going to feel it. Give the comparison of putting a frog in a pot of water and heating it up versus putting it in boiling water. If you throw it in boiling water, it's going to jump out because you feel that difference. Mm. But if it slowly increases, you don't feel it. So that's another reason to have a baseline, because if your pressure's normally super low and then all of a sudden it starts going up and up, if the first time we see you, it's just a little bit high, but normally you're really low, then we're not going to know that's a difference. We're not going to know that that's been a change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. We know COVID changed healthcare a lot. Yeah. And telehealth, for sure. example, and a lot of patients now are able to monitor their blood pressure kind of on their own.
Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about that from the primary care doctor side. How does telehealth work for you?
Yeah, so telehealth is a great option. It's something that way we can potentially see you more frequently if necessary, or if it's difficult getting out. I have plenty of patients that are working and they'll just go on break for 15, 20 minutes and step out the door and do an exam versus have to take off half a day, which I completely understand. There are plenty of conditions that we can talk about. And honestly, 80% of the time after getting a history with a patient, we already kind of have a pretty good idea of what's wrong. So, while it is ideal to do an actual physical exam, mm-hmm. most of the time getting that history is the most important part. So we can do that through telehealth. As far as monitoring blood pressure at home, it's a great tool. Again, even if some of them read a little bit high, it's more the difference. Like if it's always a little bit high on that cuff, but then it starts jumping up, it's still a difference. It might not be completely as accurate as in the office, but at least we have a good baseline, have a good idea of where it's going.
Yeah. Were you trained when everything kind of shifted to a telehealth model, if you will, were you trained like differently to, I don't know how any training would have been, but just to see something rather than feel or hear or touch?
Right. Yeah. It definitely was a bit of an adjustment, but honestly, it's funny because through a lot of early medical school and training and all these things, they say, history is the most important thing. Getting a good history of what happened, what the symptoms are, changes, things like that is huge. So obviously that part's really easy. Outside of that, it's really working with patients, seeing what we can see. And
on a scale of 1 to 10.
Right. You definitely have to get creative at times to try to figure out what the issues are.
Right, exactly. Well, we were thankful. Almost 3 years ago now, March, that we had a telehealth platform that we were able to just launch pretty much right away for patients and just at least be able to continue that connection and say, hey, you doing okay? Mm-hmm. How are you feeling today? And have the doctors and nurse practitioners really be able to continue to communicate with their patients.
Right. Absolutely.
Really scary time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's talk more about some of these preventative tests. Mm-hmm. What are some like cholesterol and diabetes? Let's focus on those two. What are you looking for when a patient comes in for those?
Yes, absolutely. So as a general guide for any wellness exam, any annual exam, and a lot of times even a first time patient coming in, if they have one or two problems, we'll deal with those. But we'll go ahead and get some blood work just to kind of get a baseline. For instance, diabetes, we can catch that pretty early on and typically way before their symptoms with just routine blood work, as opposed to, if you have full blown diabetes, you start to have symptoms, thirst, urination, frequent urination, unexplained weight loss, those kind of issues late in the process. But if we can catch it earlier than that, we can make some dietary changes, lifestyle changes. You have an opportunity to do a lot more good, as well as avoid a lot of that damage that the high blood sugar does throughout the disease process.
Okay. All right. And where does family history come in for that when you're assessing a patient?
Absolutely. So diabetes, especially diabetes type 2, has been shown to run in families and be pretty strongly genetically tied. So we absolutely want to check that. We'll dive into what's called an A1C, which gives us an average blood sugar over 3 months. Because when you draw blood, you just get that moment in time, which is a good indicator, but having an A1C is a lot more accurate. So with family history, or if the first blood draw we do, the sugar's high, we'll add on that A1C to get what that average is and see if you are in the true diabetic range or pre-diabetic range. And that way we can address it.
Mm-hmm. And then you're monitoring for 3 months?
Typically, especially early on when it's first diagnosed, because it is a 3 month average, we do have to give it that 3 months in between checks. But especially early on, if we're trying to make those lifestyle changes or we're starting a medication, then we're checking every 3 months. Once you've gotten to be stable, then we'll typically back off to every 6 months or so. Just it's situational at that point.
Yeah. And I would think, Dr. Hunt, that the patient also has to be willing to make some changes too. I mean, you can tell them all day long what they need to do, but you got to have the buy-in from the patient.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another point of having that relationship, because if there's some piece of advice or medicine or something that I'm suggesting, but there's no way you're going to do it, just let me know, because I don't want to do something you're not willing to do. Same with a lot of times we'll do blood checks and then the patient doesn't admit until afterwards they didn't take the medicine. Mm. And we're trying to bump up the strength, but if they weren't taking it, then there's no point.
You're back to square one, really.
We're trying to help you. So the more information you give us, the better we can make those changes or try to find things that you're willing to do and understanding of doing.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't agree more. Dr. Hunt is our Millennium Physician Group doctor over at Sunbeam Road here in Jacksonville. And when we come back, we're going to touch on kind of what's happening right now. COVID, flu, RSV, what's viral, what's happening. My daughter was just diagnosed with flu B today, as a matter of fact. So definitely floating around. Mm-hmm. So stick around. Medicare Connect Radio, sponsored by Millennium Physician Group. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Medicare Connect Radio, sponsored by Millennium Physician Group. I'm Michelle McCormick. Every week, we're talking about healthcare issues that are important to you. Whether you're 65 or older, maybe approaching 65, or just making healthcare decisions for a loved one, we invite providers and experts to share insights to help you take control of your healthcare decisions. Well, it's a new year, and most people think it's time to make a better change. You know, maybe I'm going to go run a marathon next weekend, you know. Well, we don't recommend that. But while it is a new year, it does mean it's time to schedule your visit to your primary care doctor, whether it's an annual wellness visit, maybe it's your welcome to Medicare exam, or you just haven't seen your doctor for your screenings and prevention testing. In this episode, we are talking with Dr. Andrew Hunt from Millennium Physician Group. He is on our Sunbeam Road clinic here in Jacksonville. And Dr. Hunt, thank you for being here today. Let's go into what's happening right now. All right. At the end of the last segment, I said, my daughter was just diagnosed with flu B. Yeah. You know, she's a college student in Tallahassee and, 21-year-old, just went back from Christmas break. Right. This morning she texts me, Mom, I hacked something up. I'm like, go to the clinic, went to some urgent care in Tallahassee and they tested her for COVID and it wasn't COVID. Mm-hmm. And she forgot how painful the COVID testing could be. And then she texts me, it's flu B. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, so let's talk about that.
Yeah.
How much of that are you seeing?
We have definitely seen a lot this year. It unfortunately doesn't seem like the flu vaccine this year has been as great a coverage as usual, but it happens.
Is that a COVID thing? Do you think there's so many viruses just out and about right now?
It's tough to tell, because honestly, when it comes to flu vaccine, they kind of make an educated guess ahead of time and produce that, and we have to kind of guess what strains or how similar it's going to be. And some years it works really well, and other years, unfortunately, not as great.
Yeah, and flu season, I mean, it could be a summer thing too, right? I mean, flu is a year-round thing.
Right. It's, technically, October to May time frame, somewhat's weather, but it really can go pretty late
into the year. Yeah, and my daughter, did not have a flu shot, and and she's like, I should have had a flu shot. I'm like, I understand your feeling on that, honey, you sick child, but I've heard also from other physicians in our group that it's exactly what you just said.
Yeah, and it still gives protection, just, some years are better than others, unfortunately.
Yeah, so how are we, if we're sick, there's a lot of coughing and sneezing around, absolutely. And people are still a little COVID shy, how are you, besides testing in office, what are you telling people who are just sick?
Yeah. So there's a lot of colds going around, obviously summer flu, COVID, different things like that. It's the biggest things. Hand washing is the most important thing. A lot of these upper respiratory infections are what we call droplet, where, unless you're in really close proximity within a foot or two of the person, it's not necessarily going to spread. Obviously masks can be very useful in certain situations and in large groups, but hand washing is probably the biggest thing, if we're being honest.
Yeah. And what's the difference between a bacterial and a viral infection?
Yeah, actually, I do want to get into that. So the biggest thing, first off, is to distinguish between bacterial versus viral. They're obviously bacterial is some sort of bacteria that's growing in the body. Typically, the symptoms are a little bit different, just in that the mucus tends to be a little thicker. You know, usually that's where you see your yellow or
green
mucus coming out. Typically, bacterial kind of hits harder and faster, and you know, higher temperatures, more severe, but in a short period of time. Whereas viral, a lot of times, kind of slowly comes on. It can get very severe symptoms, but it, a lot of times, kind of slowly comes on. Mucus is clear to whitish. A lot of times, there's fevers, but it's a little more low grade fever, some body aches, kind of things like that.
Okay, so which one is flu, bacterial or viral?
Flu is a virus.
Okay,
well.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, and when it comes to treatment, we try to figure that out as well, because bacterial we have antibiotics for, and that's when your Z-Pax or amoxicillin, all these different things can come into play. But we try to be cautious, because and I know a lot of patients can get frustrated and feel like we're withholding treatment, but it's really just because if it looks like it's not bacterial and we use an antibiotic, we can start to create resistance, both in the population where we have strains of bacteria that start to get stronger and stronger, as well as within the individual. Unfortunately, you know, in my time in the hospital, we'd see patients that have spent a lifetime of using a lot of antibiotics, and towards the end, a lot of them were resistant. They had to start getting these IV antibiotics and no longer could do the oral ones. So that's why we really try to be precautious. We're not trying to hold out or be mean.
Well, but, because patients will come in and say, I just want a Z-Pak, right?
And it's completely understandable. They've had experiences in the past where it was bacterial and cleared it right up. But in those situations where it's viral, it's not going to help. Sometimes it feels like it helps because you've waited 5 days and you take it and by the end you're done. But that's just because that's how long it would have taken to get better anyway.
Is a COVID test and a flu test one of the very first go-tos that you have right now when someone comes in and they're not feeling well?
Yeah, it's definitely pretty early on now. Especially during the height of flu season,
right,
which we're really in it now. Absolutely. It's a go-to, and COVID very, very similar. A lot, you know, if there's known exposure or particular symptoms, obviously, you know, lack of smell or something like that with COVID makes it a lot more quick to go to that. But we do try to check that, especially if it doesn't sound bacterial and sounds like it's one of the viruses. And again, viruses, we've got flu, COVID, as well as the common cold. There's a lot of variety within there. RSV.
That's what I was going to ask about. RSV seems to be like a big buzzword right now, too.
It's been kind of spreading around as well. It's always a portion of your common colds, and we don't always necessarily break those down because there aren't really difference in treatment. And that's what a lot of it comes down to, is how are we going to treat it? And that's, again, why we check flu and COVID, because there are specific antivirals for those versus the common cold. Unfortunately, it's more just symptom treatment.
Right. Aspirin, sleep, lots of fluids.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I keep telling my kids. I'm just like, just make sure you're drinking lots of water. That's all I can do to help diagnose you. So, all right. So what else do we need to know about what's going around right now, or things to, you know, I love the hand washing thing. I think that's something coming out of COVID, two and a half, 3 years ago.
Right.
The hand washing thing
has gotten a little better.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree with that. I think sanitation, people's awareness has gone up a lot in general, which is really useful. Outside of that, you know, again, like when we can actually have a treatment option, those are nice. So something like the flu, there is Tamiflu, which is an antiviral that we use. The big thing with that a lot of patients get frustrated is if you don't catch it within the first 48 hours, then it's really not useful. So again, if you're feeling it, the earlier we get to treat you or check you out, the better, because then we might have some options like that. Whereas if, you know, we catch you 5-6 days in,
it's really a little late.
A lot to do about it.
You just have to kind of ride it out.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what, like, back to my daughter who was diagnosed with flu B today in Tallahassee, where I can't do anything for her. You know, the physician she saw was like, you know, you're out till Monday. Is that typical?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like 5 days?
Those. I mean, you know, there is a contagious period for typically with flu or things along those lines for more in the, you know, 3 days till you're afebrile, meaning no fevers, as opposed to COVID. They have backed it down to the isolation period of 5 days, or at least 24 hours without true fever.
Mm-hmm. And what do we tell our older adult population when they come in to see you and seek treatment? And, you know, is there anything you can do to, besides washing your hands and just, you know, kind of staying away from someone right. who has symptoms? What are we sharing with our older population?
Yeah, so there are different vitamin supplements, things like that, that they've shown at least help boost the immune system. How effective or not, it's a little up for debate, but as far as viral supplementation, there's really no downside. So they've shown, you know, vitamin D, C, and zinc can be helpful. So a lot of those things, if you're taking a daily supplement, can definitely help your immune system. That way you can fight it off more easily. Additionally, obviously, vaccinations, and there's specific vaccination recommendations for both COVID and flu. Flu is a little more straightforward. COVID does have some variation in their different sources, like CDC is our main source for recommendations mm-hmm. with vaccination.
Okay. All right. Dr. Andrew Hunt from our Millennium Physician Group Clinic on Sunbeam Road here in Jacksonville is our guest today. And when we come back, we're going to get into the Medicare, you know, open enrollment. It's actually still happening because of the hurricanes. So there was an extension. Yeah. But there's an annual wellness visit that comes along with Medicare and a welcome to Medicare exam for new patients who are just aged in to Medicare. So we're going to talk a little bit about that in the next segment. So stick around. Medicare Connect Radio, sponsored by Millennium Physician Group. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Medicare Connect Radio, sponsored by Millennium Physician Group. I'm Michelle McCormick. Every week, we're talking about healthcare issues that are important to you, whether you're 65 or older, maybe approaching 65, or making healthcare decisions for a loved one. We invite providers and experts to share insights to help you take control of your healthcare decisions. Well, it's a new year, and maybe you are aging in, and you just got that red, white, and blue card in the mail, or you made a change, and you haven't had a chance to see your physician yet. Well, annual wellness visits are super important, as are welcome to Medicare exams. So our guest today, Dr. Andrew Hunt from the Millennium Physician Group Clinic on Sunbeam Road here in Jacksonville is our guest, and we are going to kind of talk about what these are and why they're important. So let's talk with what about welcome to Medicare exam? So let's just say I aged in, I just turned 65. I'm a Medicare card holder, right. And I'm a patient. I've been a patient of yours. What's different about a welcome to Medicare exam?
So the welcome to Medicare is, A, we do all the aspects of the Medicare annual wellness, which we'll dig into in a minute. Plus, we do a couple of baseline things, some vision tests. Typically, we'll get an EKG, depending on history, but, you know, especially if you haven't had one, just to get a baseline. Again, that way, we want to see normal. Normal is good, but going into the future, if something does go wrong or you start to have symptoms, we know we have something to reflect on. And then outside of that, it's a lot of aspects that we'll go over as far as the general Medicare annual wellness.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you see a patient, are they pretty excited when they've made it to Medicare age?
Yeah. I feel like there are a fair amount of patients that once they've gotten that point, then we can do some more things, maybe do some tests or treatments they've been waiting on.
Right. Yeah. I actually had a text today from a friend of ours who just is about to turn 65 mm-hmm. in April. And he's like, okay, I need a broker because I need to know which plan I'm going to go on, you know? Right, and so I think as people age mm-hmm. in to Medicare, I remember when my mom was turning 65, she was all about the paperwork that came in the mail and right. she was ready yeah. to go. So I think patients are probably like, okay, I'm on Medicare
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Usually there's a lot of excitement when it comes to that.
Right. Right. Okay. So then let's talk about the annual wellness visit. Now it's we call it the AWV, right? And is this something that every Medicare patient automatically has to do, or is this something that they should be doing, or both?
It's something they should be doing, and depending on the plans, there's a lot of sometimes incentives, different mm-hmm. things like that. But it's definitely highly recommended. For a lot of the aspects we talked about before with a regular wellness visit, as well as when it comes to Medicare annual wellness, we dig a lot more into the chart. We try to get those big picture things, look at the person as a whole, the whole situation, and see what we need to change or tweak or adjust as we get older.
Yeah. And people are living longer.
Yes.
I mean, my
yes.
grandmother's 96 and yes. I mean, she still sees her yeah. primary care doc and, uh-huh. you know, she's pushing along her role later and, you know, living the dream. Right. But I think is there a specific age? I mean, are you really focusing on the 65 to 80 or, you know, 80 and above?
Really, the whole thing is important. And I know a lot of patients that just get in 65 or they're before 70. A lot of it, those patients are still very healthy. So
they're still working too, a lot of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot of them are. And so sometimes it can feel like it's not as important. But with all those reasons we mentioned before, plus, you know, looking at medications and these screening tools are really important to get a baseline. That way, as we go older, with our memory test, looking at depression, dementia, as well as having some conversations that might initially be uncomfortable, like advanced life planning, is really important because we don't want to leave that to our loved ones if something were to happen, which is honestly a good thing to do even earlier in life. But those types of things we can talk about during the AWV.
Yeah, I like that. And then, you know, at what age do you start seeing, and I don't think there's like a specific age to this question, but when a caregiver starts to attend with their loved one, and then you're kind of talking, you have two people that you're really engaging with.
Yeah. No, and again, that's very person to person. There are some patients that you know, by that age, they're already at that point, and some that it's not till later, 75, 80, before they start having a caregiver. But it is always nice, important. We try to type out our plan on the patient plan that they can take a look at. However, to have a second person there to think things over. Also, a lot of times, you know, spouses or caretakers might notice something that the person forgot about or didn't notice themselves. So that can be really helpful as well to get a full picture of the patient.
Yeah. I like what you said also about the medication review
and
evaluation. Very important, I would think.
Absolutely. And that's another part that a lot of patients as they transition don't feel like a little weird because there's less of a focus on the physical exam. We still do a physical exam. It's very important. However, it's really a lot of it's chart review. So, you know, we might spend a lot of times as physicians in the other room kind of really digging into the medications, reviewing the chart, and might not even see the patient as much as you feel like we, you know, might be in a regular wellness exam. But a lot of that is because we're looking through the medications, making sure there's not interactions. Another thing, as we age, we just process medicine differently. We metabolize it slower. It leaves our body slower as our kidney function goes down, all these types of things. So we do need to take a look and make sure it's still the right medication for you, as well as there are some medicines that are good over the long term, but we don't really need towards the end.
It's interesting. And medicine's changing a lot too, like newer products coming on the market and that somebody who's been on the same medication for a long time might not even know about.
Absolutely.
Other options.
That's a great point as well. Yeah, there's constantly new things coming out. You know, obviously we want to make sure they're the right things for you, but reviewing those medications and not just kind of rolling things over constantly can be an important part of it.
Are you talking about fall prevention, hazards around the house, you know, carpets that, or, you know, throw rugs that need to go away, grab bars,
that's
stuff like that?
That's a great point, because, you know, our preventative tests and screenings are important the whole life, but as we get to these MAWs, annual wellness visits, we do get a little more focused on some of those practical things, like you said, falling hazards, trip hazards, just the home safety, these little things that might seem like nothing, especially if you're high functioning, but as we get older, they can be really important because, you know, having those trip and falls can be a major life event.
Yeah. Agreed. And that will set you back years too, in some cases. And we want to move forward, right? We don't want to go backwards in time. No. No, we don't. All right. So Dr. Hunt, as we wrap up, let's talk about, you know, some of the biggest takeaways for visiting with your primary care doctor. What do you want the listeners to know?
Again, I just really think the biggest thing is establishing that relationship, getting baseline both of who you are as well as, you know, some numbers, some labs, things like that, so we can look for these changes. Changes are almost more important than the symptom itself, just because we need to see where you started. These preventative tests, a lot of times, again, people don't feel like anything's wrong, but many times those problems, you know, that hypertension they didn't catch for 10 years, that's what's going to cause the heart attack. Those are going to cause those big issues later that a person might feel like, where did this come from? But that's why we want to catch it early. And then, again, establishing that relationship so you feel really open so you can fully discuss what's going on and not feel ashamed, not feel like you're going to be judged. So we can have a conversation. We can come up with a plan together and really know what's going on, what's going on in your life.
Yeah, I talk to a lot of patients out and about doing different events in our region. And one of the things that I always get good feedback from, either they're already Millennium patients with one of our providers or they're thinking about becoming a Millennium, it's like, you know, what's the time like that I'm going to be spending with my physician? And yeah. and you just hit it all. You yeah. know, you're getting to know this person, you're making that connection. You know, whether a doctor's retiring or you just moved to this region, right. you know, giving a doctor a chance. And yeah. you know what? It might not be the right fit for right. you. You know,
that is an important part as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could feel personal, but we try not to allow that because we want to make sure that it's the right fit because everybody has a different style. Every person's different. Every doctor's different, has a different style. So you want to find someone that you mesh well with.
Yeah, I agree because it's your life, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's your
yeah.
healthcare, right?
Right.
And it starts right yeah. here. So Dr. Andrew Hunt, his address is 4235 Sunbeam Road in Jacksonville. And the phone number to the office there is 904-322-8555. And you can schedule with Dr. Hunt online mm-hmm. if you're a new patient. And you can also call that phone number. You can also call 844-CALL-MPG. That's takes you to our patient call center. But Dr. Hunt, thank you so much for being here today. We appreciate you as one of our physicians, of course, with Millennium Physician Group. And I look forward to continuing the conversation with you perhaps another time.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Well, the conversation will continue next time on Medicare Connect Radio. Millennium aims to create a genuinely connected healthcare experience for patients by providing a comprehensive and coordinated approach to healthcare. We also want to be your connection to a healthier life. Learn more and schedule your next primary care visit online at millenniumphysician.com. In good health, I'm Michelle McCormick. Have a great day.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big.